Live from the I-10 corridor, it's the Dave Nemo Show.
Yes, indeedy, Speedy, and we are looking forward to the next hour of the program. I hope you already are acquainted with Bridget Blitch from Taylor & Associates, attorneys at law in Florida. She works on behalf of folks in trucking, and she is really working hard to get some very important information out to you every month here on the Dave Nemo Show. And today we are starting Phase two, you might say, of our series with Bridget called Protecting Your Livelihood. We're going to go the full hour instead of the half, and we're taking phone calls. And the number is 615-292-6366. But we're going to go to Bridget and kind of run through a little bit of what we discussed last time as sort of a refresher, and then we'll move into some new areas of concern in terms of what happens when you do something wrong and they tell you that your license is suspended. You know, is there a probationary period? Are there any other recourses for you? What are some of the serious traffic violations and things that, you know, disqualify you? And we'll go on from there. Also, she's got some case examples for us. And we've had this question come up on the program, I think it was just last week, as I mentioned earlier. What do you do when a dispatcher sends you a text message while you're driving? Man, you know, that's kind of a trick bag. Or what about a customer sending you an email while you're driving? Customer's always right. Yes? No? Well, we'll find out. Bridget Blitch joins us in just a moment.
I've got those drag 'em off the interstate, sock it to 'em, JP Blue.
Hey, truck drivers, stop settling for mediocrity. At Schaefer Trucking, we lead the pack with our pay and benefits. Effective January 1st, 2017, we have raised our pay. OTR drivers will now earn 49 to 52 cents per practical mile. Plus, you can receive full benefits for as little as $34 per week. Join the leader of the pack today. Call Schaefer Trucking at 888-995-5809 or visit us online at schaeferjobs.com.
The mission of the St. Christopher Fund is to help professional drivers and their families who have financial needs due to medical problems. Assistance may be in the form of direct payment for medical services or prescription drugs, assistance with expenses while recovering, or negotiating price reductions with medical providers and hospitals. If you or someone you know is in need of help due to an illness, or perhaps if you would like to make a donation, go to davenemo.com and click on the St. Christopher Fund.
Well, let's get right to our discussion this morning with Bridget Blitch from Taylor & Associates, attorneys at law. Bridget, good morning.
Good morning to you, Dave. Thank you so much for having me on. It's always a pleasure to be here.
Well, thank you. You know, we learned quite a bit last week, but if most of our listeners are like me, can only retain so much, and you really packed the segment with a lot of very important information about what are the disqualifiers when it comes to your CDL and what can get it suspended and what happens when that happens. And I thought maybe just a quick recap is in order and then we'll continue to move on. We've already got some phone calls lined up too.
All right. Well, it would be my pleasure. And yeah, so in the last segment, we talked about what are the disqualifying offenses that will result in a suspension of a driver's commercial driver's license. And so the reason why this is so important is because it comes up so often when violations occur. And so we talked last time about what the major offenses are that will result in a suspension of a CDL. And then I talked about just generally what are the other categories that a driver can have their CDL suspended. And so those include serious offenses, as well as violating out-of-service orders. And there's also a section where a driver can have their license suspended, their CDL suspended, for violating railroad crossings. So we talked about in the major offense, the scenario I gave last time was leaving the scene of an accident, and what a driver might not consider as an accident ultimately does result in their suspension. So what I want to do this time, and we picked up an issue, Dave and I, when you and I were talking about what happens if you get a violation in your personal vehicle, and there's some confusion as to when does a violation also impact a driver's commercial driver's license. So what I want to do is just try to give a little clarity to those regulations. And I believe that sometimes why there's questions as to what violations will result in the suspension of a CDL is just not understanding the statute. And I see that in the courtroom setting as well. But what I want to do is give you just the federal guidelines. And the reason why I want to do that is because the states are the entities that issue the commercial driver's license. And the administrator for the FMCSA could actually prohibit a state from issuing commercial driver's license if they were found in noncompliance with performing minimum standards with respect to issuing those licenses. And one of those things, the basis for a disqualification would be if a state did not disqualify a driver convicted of a disqualifying offense in a commercial motor vehicle. So that's going to be just the federal framework is just to give everybody guidance. Here's the minimum standards. So
okay.
Just to put it in context. So let's start with the major offenses. So we talked about the state has to consider, was the violation either in a commercial motor vehicle or a non-commercial motor vehicle? So there are offenses that a driver can commit in their non-commercial motor vehicle that has to be considered, and that's actually right out of the statute. It says that each conviction for any of these offenses, for major offenses as well as serious traffic offenses, need to be considered whether committed in a commercial motor vehicle or non-commercial motor vehicle. So they have to be counted. So you have to look at, okay, well, what are those offenses? And it's being under the influence of alcohol, as prohibited by state law, being under the influence of a controlled substance, refusing to take an alcohol test as required by state law, leaving the scene of an accident, using the vehicle to commit a felony, as well as using a vehicle in the commission of a felony involving the manufacturing, distributing, or dispensing of a controlled substance. So those are the offenses that you can commit in your personal vehicle that would get counted towards a disqualifying offense for or a suspension of your commercial driver's license. Now, in the last show, I went through all of them, and there are some that are specific that you have to commit in your commercial motor vehicle in order for it to be counted against your CDL, like having an alcohol concentration of above 0.04 or greater while operating a commercial motor vehicle. So there are those offenses that specifically will apply when you're operating a commercial motor vehicle. Driving a commercial motor vehicle when as a result of prior violations committing or operating a commercial motor vehicle, the driver's CDL is revoked, suspended, or canceled. So that's another one. It specifically says you operate your commercial motor vehicle and you commit this offense, or causing a fatality through the negligent operation of a commercial motor vehicle. So those are the items that you think about that's going to impact your CDL if you're operating a commercial motor vehicle, but be aware, you have to be careful when you're operating your personal vehicle as well, because like driving under the influence of drugs or alcohol, leaving the scene of an accident in your personal vehicle, that can go towards a suspension of your CDL as well. So
can I just break in real quick here, Bridget, for some clarifications on the alcohol concentration? Okay. Alcohol concentration for disqualification for a commercial motor vehicle CDL holding driver is 0.04 or greater. Now, say a guy had blown maybe 0.05 in his car. So he is probably under, I won't give a number. Let's say he's above the number for commercial motor vehicle operation, but below the number for a passenger car operation. Is he okay in terms of his CDL then, or does he have to blow greater than the four-wheeler number? I think I just confused myself, but I'll bet you can figure that out, right?
Yes. So what you have to look at is, in that state law, what constitutes driving under the influence of alcohol? So what is the maximum amount or a concentration that you can have to trigger that offense? So if it's greater than 0.04, you have to meet that threshold that's set by state statute. So you'd have to look at the various state statute. So the 0.04 is just while operating a commercial motor vehicle. If you're in your personal vehicle, obviously you don't want to drive drunk. You want to make sure that you comply with the state law, and that you're not that the concentration, if you are pulled over and found to have a DUI, then the question is, were you over that state limit under that state law?
Gotcha. So you're fenced in there, and as long as you're in your lane, so to speak, you're okay. Not that you want to do that anyway, but technically speaking, you kind of escape that one.
Right. You never want to take the risk, because driving is your livelihood. But those are just to try to give some clarity to what are the offenses that you can commit in your personal vehicle that can impact your CDL. So if you were found to be under the influence of alcohol in your personal vehicle, it's a one-year suspension.
Mm-hmm. Got it. Well, as I mentioned, we already have some folks calling in. We want to take as many calls as we can. 615-292-6366. So we'll kind of bounce back and forth, Bridget, if we can. So why don't we bounce out to Wyoming right now? Haas is with us on the line. And Haas, good morning, and you're on with Bridget now.
Hi, Haas. Good morning.
Well, it sounds as if Haas we just lost his call. Haas, if you can hear me on the radio, call back. Something was wrong with the connection there. So at any rate, we'll move on here. Well, I'll tell you what, Dream Crusher is with us in Maryland, so we'll go to the other side of the country here. Dream Crusher, good morning. You're on with Bridget now.
Good morning, Bridget. I wanted to point out something to let people know about it. From a former law enforcement standpoint, a lot of people get locked into the numbers of what a state says is the minimum for to be charged with driving while impaired or have that civil revocation of your driver's license. But I wanted to remind folks, too, that some states, it doesn't matter what you blow. They base it upon impairment. You know what that officer testified based on the standardized field sobriety test, where he forms the opinion that you were under the influence of an appreciably impairing substance, to be alcohol or another drug, or even an over the counter drug. So we also don't need to lock into numbers. It's just how can you control that vehicle? You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Dream Crusher, you are right on. And oftentimes the law enforcement officer will write a citation for driving under the influence of alcohol or drugs based on what indicia of intoxication they see. Was there alcohol in the breath, or were they able to do the heel to toe? And so certainly we've seen those where you don't have an actual blood test or breath test, and it's just based on the officer's observation. So it's what is prohibited by state law. So I think that's an excellent point you bring up.
Well, Dream Crusher, thank you very much for that. Yeah, because somebody can drink one beer and be completely zonked, and another guy could drink a six-pack and, you know, be pretty much okay depending on their metabolism and all of that other stuff. Okay, so now we got Hoss back, I hope, and he's in Maryland. Hey, Hoss, okay.
Hey, I'm here. Sorry about that, buddy.
That's okay. That's okay.
Good morning, Hoss.
Good morning, Bridget. How are you guys doing this morning?
Great, thanks.
Doing great.
All right. Now, I'm kind of in and out of the service here. Now, did you say that the legal limit for alcohol consumption in a commercial vehicle and a personal vehicle are the same, or does it vary? I was cutting in and out there a little bit.
Sure. So there is a offense, a disqualifying offense, if you're driving your commercial motor vehicle, and that was 0.04 or greater. Then there was the separate offense of being under the influence of alcohol as prohibited by state law. So that's going to depend on what the laws of each state are. And as Dream Crusher just mentioned, too, it's not always a matter of are you over the legal limit, but is there some sort of indicia of intoxication or being under the influence of a controlled substance that leads the officer to believe that you're violating the state law?
Right, so a good reason then. Okay.
There.
Now, have you guys covered the minor parts of the infractions and all that too, or is it you guys still doing these major infractions right now?
We were just talking about the major offenses, but I was going to also move on to the serious offenses as well and talk about that.
Oh, okay. All right, I'll just I'll sit back and take a listen then, and if I, you know, I'll call back in with some, if I have any other questions. Is that okay?
That sounds great, Hoss. That's a great segue. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Hoss. We'll take a real quick break here. And Bridget, you made Dave Nemo's show history, and maybe Road Dog Radio history. You're the first person that ever used the word indicia on the program, so thank you very much for that. We always like to add to our vocabulary. We'll be right back after a quick word from some of our sponsors.
I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. I've traveled, I've had my share, man.
The time has finally arrived. As of December 1st, two new categories of heavy-duty diesel engine oils are available. Chevron is leading the way with the introduction of the all-new Delo 400 with IsoSyn advanced technology. If you're looking for longer engine life, better wear protection, longer drain intervals, look no further. This is the next generation of heavy-duty diesel engine oil technology. Chevron Delo 400 gives you the power to go further. Go to chevrondelo.com to learn more.
The mission of the St. Christopher Fund is to help professional drivers and their families who have financial needs due to medical problems. Assistance may be in the form of direct payment for medical services or prescription drugs, assistance with expenses while recovering, or negotiating price reductions with medical providers and hospitals. If you or someone you know is in need of help due to an illness, or perhaps if you would like to make a donation, go to DaveNemo.com and click on the St. Christopher Fund.
Protecting Your Livelihood. It's our series with Bridget Blitch from Taylor & Associates, Attorneys at Law. And our phones are open, although all the lines are full now. But Bridget, why don't we take another call here before we go to the bottom of the hour break and head out to Arizona. Gumby is with us on the line. And Gumby, good morning. Oh. Thanks. And you're on now.
Well, good morning, Dave and Bridget. How y'all doing today?
Good. Thank you.
Doing great. Thank you.
Honestly, in my opinion on the 0.04, it should be 0.00 because a truck driver considers a professional driver, and we have to uphold that. And personally, if you think you need to drink and drive, I'm sorry, but you're not being professional about your career of choice.
Gumby, you pick up on a great point. And one thing that we see is in representing trucking companies is every driver needs to know what the company policy is. And a lot of times there is that no tolerance. So just because it may be a .04 before your commercial driver's license is suspended, if you're caught and you've got a .01, that could be the end of your job. So I think it's great that you brought that point up, because every driver needs to know if they're working for a company and they have a policy as to what is the conduct, the permissible conduct. Sometimes it's zero tolerance. We only permit a .00 because, as you said, you're in a profession, and we expect that as a company. So I see that very often.
And that should also fall over to being my own vehicle, because, I mean, they have such high expectations for truck drivers that, honestly, my honest opinion is I'm a professional. I'm not going to drink and drive even on a bicycle or a horse. I mean, come on. So that's just my thoughts. Well, no. In Tappan, Arizona, a buddy of mine got a DWI on a horse. So,
well, that's interesting. I ride horses too, and I wouldn't want to try doing that.
Well, you guys have a good morning, and thank you for taking my call, Dave.
Gumby, thanks for making that call. Absolutely. We've just got a couple minutes before we go to the news at the bottom. So if you've already talked to a Rooster, stay there. If not, all of a sudden, all of the phones opened up again for some reason. Maybe guys are getting out of their cells. So it's 615-292-6366. Bridget will be with us till the top of the hour. So we're only halfway through here this morning. So I think we covered alcohol pretty well. What about, the big ticket item causing a fatality through the negligent operation of a commercial vehicle? Does that fall into the same area as a private vehicle?
Yeah, so what you have to look at is there's the using a vehicle to commit a felony. So if that falls into it, but there is also specifically causing a fatality through the negligent operation of a commercial motor vehicle. So that specifically is tied to your operation of a commercial motor vehicle.
Got it.
Yeah. Well, Dave, I know we have a few minutes. One of the things that we were going to also touch on here, and I have a case example, is on the serious offenses, because there are other violations that are not included in the major offenses that can also result in a suspension, although not as long if you're convicted of a major offense. And so I'll run through some of these if we have a few minutes. It includes speeding excessively, involving any speed 15 miles per hour or more above the regulated speed limit, driving recklessly as prohibited by state law, making improper erratic traffic lane changes, and that's a big one, following a vehicle too closely, violating state or local laws relating to motor vehicle traffic control arising in connection with a fatal accident. So those are some offenses that you can commit in your personal vehicle that will also impact your CDL. And for those offenses, depending upon whether it's a first or a second conviction of any of the combination of those, within a three-year period can result in a 60-day suspension.
Well, that puts us right to where we need to be. We are going to go on duty, not talking, for about 5 minutes here, and we'll be back right on the other side of news and weather. Bridget Blitch is with us from Taylor & Associates, and we call our segment with Bridget each month, Protecting Your Livelihood. And the phones are open. We do have two lines open, 615-292-6366. And don't forget, coming up at the bottom of the next hour, Canada Calling. But in this case, they'll be calling from Nashville, Tennessee at the TMC Conference. Jim Park and Joanne Ritchie from OB's AC are there at the TMC Convention.
To the Dave Nemo Show.
And let's get right back to protecting your livelihood. Bridget Blitch is with us from Taylor & Associates in Florida. And, of course, that makes the first Wednesday of every month here on the Dave Nemo Show special, because Bridget really takes time out of a very busy schedule to be with us on the program, imparting some pretty doggone important information. And clearing up some of those questions that folks have and some of the confusion that results. And we learn some new words every once in a while, too, Bridget, so welcome back.
Well, thank you, Dave. Great to be back. And so before the break, we were talking about the serious offenses that can result in a suspension of your CDL even when committed in your personal vehicle. And there's just a couple things that I want to pull out of this serious offenses that I think is important for our drivers to know. And there is one offense that's driving a commercial motor vehicle without a CLP or CDL in the driver's possession. And I'm highlighting this because I see this come up frequently. And one of the things that the statute says is that any individual who provides proof to the enforcement authority that issued the citation, by the time that driver gets to court or has to pay a fine for that violation, if they can show that they held a valid CLP or a commercial driver's license on the day that the citation was issued, shall not be guilty of the offense. So that's right out of the statute, and I just wanted to highlight that. That is something that would occur when the driver is operating a commercial motor vehicle, but I think it's important to highlight because it comes up often enough, and the concern is, well, wait a minute, I can show proof that I had my license reinstated or was instated at that time. Maybe there was something that happened just prior to that so that it wasn't in the law enforcement office system. So just a quick highlight, because I wanted to get that information out.
Thank you. Okay. Now, let's take another call here. And Al is with us up in Massachusetts. Al, good morning. You're on with Bridget Blitch now. Go right ahead.
Good morning, Dave. How you folks doing?
Doing good, thanks.
Good, good. Good to hear from you guys. And I'm glad that I got through. I just got a quick question concerning the CDL. I'm getting done retiring for sure the 23rd of June. Now, if I don't take my physical, I automatically go back, I understand, to a regular operator's license. Is that right or wrong?
Without looking at the statute, yes, that would be correct, because you would have to have that physical in order to meet the qualification requirements under 383.
Right. So now I would just go back to a regular operator's license automatically?
That may be up to the state, the specific state statute, as to what you need to do just to make sure that you have your personal license in place and intact. So I would definitely inquire with your local DMV to make sure that there's nothing specific that you need to do.
Sure. Okay, very good. Thank you so much for being helpful to me.
Oh, Al, absolutely. My pleasure.
Thank you very much, Al. Bridget, bear with us just for a moment. There is a tornado warning in effect now in West Virginia, covering I-77 between mile markers 147 and 173. I-77 in West Virginia between mile markers 147 and 173. Also in West Virginia, Route 50. Route 50 between mile markers 13 and 28. Route 50 in West Virginia between mile markers 13 and 28. This storm will be around Mineral Wells in about 5 minutes and at Elizabeth in about 10 minutes from now. And the whole thing, the tornado warning, there is radar-indicated rotation, runs until 10 o'clock Eastern Time. Also, in addition to the tornado threat, a half-dollar size hail is the other threat. And very quickly, Rooster has another bit of information for us up in Ohio.
That I do, Dave. I-70 westbound at mile marker 204, like you said, in Ohio. According to Stomper, according to his assessment as he drove by, is that it was probably going to get shut down pretty soon. Accident on the bridge, going to have to pull somebody out of a car that's all smashed in. But he said I-70 westbound in Ohio, mile marker 204, that probably pretty soon it's going to get shut down. Emergency crews are just about to arrive on scene.
Thank you very much, Rooster. Bridget, let's get back to our discussion, and let's kind of go to the elephant in the room, or the 800-pound gorilla in the room. And what is that gorilla doing? He's texting. Serious traffic violation, driving while texting. And you have some case examples about this.
Yeah, this is an area that I know gets a lot of discussion. And so you may have heard of this case that happened. The case was actually published back in 2013, but the accident itself happened back in September of 2009. And the case that I'm going to tell you about wasn't in the context of a driver operating a commercial motor vehicle. But the reason it's important is because I like to have the audience consider things of what ramifications their actions may have. Like in the opening, you talked about what happens if you receive a call from your dispatcher or customer or a loved one. So let me just briefly tell you about this case here. The case is Linda Kubert versus Kyle Best. And what happened there was that David Kubert and his wife were riding a motorcycle. And as they came around a curb, they were hit by a pickup truck that was driven by an 18-year-old Kyle Best that had crossed over the double center line of the roadway into their lane of travel. David Kubert and his wife ultimately lost their left legs as a result of the impact. And the impact, it said, the case goes through and says, just prior to that impact, there was evidence that established that Kyle Best had been texting just seconds before the accident happened. And so the question came up not as to Best's liability, but as to the person that was sending the text message, whether they had reason to know that Best was operating a vehicle at that time, and what was the liability to that individual. We know from a driver's perspective that this is a serious offense that can result in a suspension of a CDL, and it's considered a serious offense. And so the question comes up, well, what has to be shown before someone who sends that text message will be liable? And so what the court in that case indicated, and this was a case out of New Jersey, and the opinion was from the Superior Court of New Jersey, and they said that the person had to have special reason to know that the recipient will review the text message while driving and respond. So it begs the question, is do motor carriers have any policies in place that say drivers are expected to respond within a certain amount of time from being contacted by dispatch? We know a lot of times customers want 24-hour dispatch and they want to immediately know where the driver is. But are we doing anything in our policies that could potentially expose ourselves or our operations to liability? And so the question is, you know, not just the act of sending text messages by itself is not an active encouragement that the recipient would read the text message and respond immediately in violation of the law. But what has to be shown in order for there to be a liability attributed to the sender? So it brings up some, you know, interesting questions. You've got a Qualcomm message coming through. What is the past practice of that particular driver? Do they always respond? Does the dispatcher know that the driver is operating a commercial motor vehicle? Is that considered a text message? So from a best practice standpoint, drivers should be operating their commercial motor vehicle. That is their sole duty at that time, to operate it safely and not to respond to electronic communications, whether that's on their cell phone or any other electronic device. And that companies that are reaching out to their drivers while they know they're operating a commercial motor vehicle have to be sensitive to that, and having policies in place that indicate to the driver that their first duty foremost is to operate that vehicle. So what happens then if a loved one contacts the driver and the driver responds? What's the liability of the sender of that text message? So, I mean, if this case is any kind of indication, the courts are reluctant to just say the act of sending the message by itself is going to attribute liability. It's really, you know, the foreseeability and the prior experience that someone would have to know that the recipient would review that text message.
Gotcha. Okay. So everybody can get in trouble on that, on both ends of that communication.
Well, in this particular case, the sender of the text message was not found liable. And I have not seen so far in my research this being extended, but it's just one of those things that I like to put out there, because we're always looking for what can we do to make sure that we are safe, that our policies reflect and comply with the commercial motor vehicle safety regulations, and that we're doing everything to protect our livelihood and to protect our motor carrier operations. And one of the things, and this is interesting that I've heard it spoken about frequently, but this case picks up on it, you know, just as the public has learned the dangers of drinking and driving through a sustained campaign, enhanced criminal penalties and civil penalties, the hazards of texting when on the road or to someone who is on the road may become part of the public consciousness when the liability of those involved matches the seriousness of the harm. And so it really is, and in this court's opinion, can be just as deadly and concerning as drinking and driving.
You know, just as an aside, and we won't dwell here, we're going to go right back to the phones, but I just read either late last week or on Monday that in Oregon, where the texting fine had been up to $500, they're raising that to like $6,000 plus jail time for texting while driving. Not necessarily involved in an accident or a fatality or anything like that, but they're really starting to crack down. Alaska has a $10,000 texting while driving fine. So more and more people are becoming aware of the reality of the dangers of distracted driving. It ranks right up there with drunk and drugged driving. So that being said, let us go back to the phones here, Bridget, and head to Illinois. Drill Sergeant Don with us on the line. And good morning,
good
DSD.
Morning,
good morning.
Yeah, morning.
Good morning.
It was a rough one this morning. All that wind and straight wind and tornadoes and all that stuff in Arkansas. Oh, man. Hey, my question is, if you're driving your private owned vehicle and you get pulled over and you get a breathalyzer, you know, and you found that the license is going to be taken away from you, but you don't get a court date yet, You know, they keep on postponing it. Now, you're allowed to drive while your license is being taken away because they let you go to work back and forth. And if your company doesn't fire you, what is the liability? Could you drive a semi, 18-wheeler?
Well, let me just kind of answer this generally, is that there isn't like a temporary permit for a commercial driver's license that you can get, like if you could with a personal vehicle, and it's going to be specific to each state. So you'll want to make sure that your commercial driver's license is still active and hasn't been suspended before you operate. And sometimes that's we see these cases where the license does get suspended. The driver is not aware that the license has been suspended, and then they operate the commercial motor vehicle while the license is suspended. So the best thing to do is make sure you understand under the state procedures whether that license has been suspended at the time that that citation has been issued or whether it's still active pending a determination or hearing or final adjudication on the violation.
Yeah, because the individual I was talking to, he said he wasn't, you know, he checked on it, and it wasn't suspended or anything, and they just keep on making the court date longer and longer, you know, and he just wanted to know if he could drive. I said, well, that might be a company policy, you know, you don't drive a vehicle till you have to have your court date.
Right. Yeah. So the company may have a policy as to how many citations a driver can have before, from just a company perspective, they're going to disqualify them from operating a commercial motor vehicle. And then also employers, motor carriers must not knowingly allow or permit a driver who's been disqualified to operate a commercial motor vehicle from going back on the road. So that duty is not only on the driver, but also on the motor carrier to make sure that they're not allowing a driver to operate with a suspended license.
Drill Sergeant Don, thank you very much. Bridget, thank you. We'll be right back after a quick word from some of our sponsors, and we'll continue.
So I drive, and I think about my life and wonder why that I slowly die inside. Every time I turn that truck around right at the Georgia line, and I count the days and the miles back home to you on that Highway 20 ride.
Attention professional drivers, now anytime is a great time to buy new tires. Thanks to TA Truck Service Commercial Tire Network, now with even more brands than before. Whether you need steer, drive, or trailer tires, you pay the same low price. Roadmaster and Dayton are only $324 per tire. Kelly and Formula by Pirelli, only $354. Goodyear Marathon, BF Goodrich, Yokohama, and Firestone are only $424. And Goodyear Continental or Pirelli are only $524 per tire. So stop into any TA Truck Service location where buying new tires is as easy as 1, 2, 3. Just choose your price, choose your brand, and choose your location.
TA Petro, full service means at your service.
Price does not include FET, mounting, labor, balancing, valve, stem, state or local taxes. Single tire purchases at $25 per tire. Does not include wide base tires. Some restrictions may apply. See service advisor for details.
I know that you've been driving through corn. Your eyes are red, you look unhappy. Here is my advice. Check into our motel, get up and have some breakfast. Folks here are real nice. Your left tail lights out, but I'll let that pass. I see your license expired yesterday. And by the way, you're nearly out of gas and you're speeding. When you're done dancing the speed trap, boogie lady.
I guess we'll see him in court, huh, Bridget?
I was just thinking so.
Well, let's take another quick call here. And Reverend Two Gun is with us. And thanks for being a first-time caller, Rev. And you're on with Bridget now. Oh, I guess I should push your button. Reverend Two Gun, there you go. Good morning. Well, I guess the button ain't working. He's not there. Well, we'll go to, that's a shame. We'll go to John up in Illinois. John, good morning.
Good morning, Dave. Got a quick question. I was charged with improper lane change. I'm just wondering, will this affect my ability to continue to drive, you know, suspension or whatever, if I pay it off? You know, because the lawyers I checked into want a whole lot more than I can really afford.